Social impact everywhere.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back. We have another episode of the Social Impactors Podcast Season 2. And I have a really, really cool opportunity to be interviewing someone who I found on a platform called Republic, which I'll touch on in a little bit. But I want to introduce Taylor, and Taylor is the founder and CEO of FocusMate. And all I'll say about FocusMate is where work gets done. And Taylor, I just want to make sure that I'm right. You guys are on Republic. Are you still raising right now?
Well, by March when this airs, we will not be raising, but certainly you can reach out to us and get involved in other ways.
You know what? I'm going to do a little post then beforehand, and I'm just going to say check them out on Republic, because Republic is a really cool equity crowdfunding platform, and that's where you're going to find FocusMate. And love what you guys are doing, especially with you, what you're doing too, Taylor, and I'll definitely plug that for people to get involved and see. But why don't we start a little bit about a first question, and it's really, you know, who you are, what you do, and why you believe you're a social impactor.
Yeah. Who I am, as you mentioned, I'm the founder and CEO of FocusMate. You could say, though, that I'm a really passionate student of human potential. And so I'll give you my quick story, which is that, you know, as a student, I survived and I thrived by always finding a study buddy. And I was fine in the workplace because I was always surrounded by people and had accountability up until the point that I started working remotely in 2011. And being alone, having less accountability, my productivity just fell apart. To the point that I very nearly got fired. And I transitioned actually to being an entrepreneur at that point and continued to struggle with procrastination for years. And I that really actually solidified my interest in human potential and studying behavioral science and productivity. But I continued to struggle up until a few years ago. I was working actually with a client of mine who, it turned out, was also working from home, also struggling with procrastination. And I just had this moment of insight that was like, hey, why don't we just get on Skype for a couple hours tomorrow? And he was procrastinating on an investor presentation, and I was procrastinating on a blog post. And I said, why don't we just sit together, and I'll keep you company while you work on this presentation and while I work on this blog post. So we did that. We spent the first couple minutes just declaring, this is what I will do during this time. We each wrote it down, and we got to work. And 2 hours flew by, and both of us just kind of had our minds blown, like, wow, nothing has ever really got us in the zone that effectively before. And so he and I did that. Must have been every day that week we did it, but very quickly we realized this was something that other people could benefit from as well. And so that became the seed for FocusMate, was how can you provide human accountability exactly when and how we need it in order to get things done in a world where increasingly we're distracted, we're alone, and people really struggle with procrastination.
Yeah, I'm kind of like the, you know, squirrel and then looks over there. I always have done that. So it's nice when there's more of that human accountability. And it's nice that it's not just, you know, AI and it's not technology. It's using technology, but on the basis of what FocusMate, in my opinion, is it's a human to human connection, right?
Yeah. And, you know, I'm a huge fan of all, you know, all advances in technology. You know, it's great, but we are tribal animals, we're social animals. So I think we have to remember that and sort of bring that along in how we use technology. And so kind of the premise for FocusMate is like, well, we know that accountability is a social trigger that's very effective. So how can we use technology to actually bring that accountability to you? You know, even if you're a student and you're, you know, in Pakistan and you're in your bedroom and you have absolutely like nobody around that can sort of help hold you accountable, or you're a freelancer and you're in some rural place in Australia, or you're me and you're sitting in your apartment in Manhattan and that's your home office and you just need that boost to make sure you're like at your desk and you're working, you know, in the morning.
I mean, procrastination is one of the number one killers, I think, right now of job security. It's not always necessarily that individual's fault. Like you said, some people work better with other people, some people don't, but it's nice that you provide that platform to kind of solve that challenge.
Yeah. I don't know if I fully answered your question about like, how am I a social impactor?
Yeah.
So I'll riff on that, which is I don't know why I'm like this, but I really believe that if we could all do our best work, that like any global problem, we could solve it. Hmm. And the reason is like, I believe that we all like work can be this incredibly meaningful thing, or this creator of meaning in our lives. And yeah. I think we're innately motivated to do work that has a positive impact around us, because as we were just discussing, we are social animals, and having a positive impact on our community is one of the most like obvious and readily available ways to create meaning in our lives. And so our work is like, it's kind of a slam dunk. It's like that, our relationships, you know, our family, those are kind of like the really obvious ways to have impact. So I think, you know, if you just create the conditions for somebody to do their best work, they're naturally going to gravitate towards doing things that have a positive impact on the world. So we're kind of just trying to keep it simple and say, like, if we can just help people get out of their own way and do the work that they really want to do, that unto itself has a profound social impact.
Yeah. And so you talked about, I like that segue too, because you talked about you as an individual. And so the next question I have then is, how are you? And let's talk about, you know, Taylor, not necessarily just so much FocusMate, because what you're doing with FocusMate's incredible, but what about you and how are you making a positive impact in your community then?
Well, I don't know if you'll like this answer because I'm going to collapse it, but I don't know, maybe I turned 30 or something and I woke up and I said, I gotta achieve something.
Okay.
In this decade. And the way that I feel like I can best do that is actually doing my job really well. So I will sort of intentionally not answer or answer the question you didn't want me to answer. But I guess it's part of that philosophy, which is that our work can be very meaningful. And also like in my 20s, I would say I had a problem just getting spread thin too much. And a lot of that is actually because I always wanted to help. And it's, a friend calls you up or somebody has a cool project or whatever. And you say yes to things because it makes you feel good. And I very deliberately narrowed my aperture in the last few years. I'm 33 now. To just say, like, if I'm going to do something that really, let's just say, changes my community, makes a positive impact on my community, I need to focus.
Yeah.
And I need to do less things. So, the answer actually is kind of blocking out everything else and just saying, you know what, I need to be healthy so that I can sustainably do my best work and do a really good job. And I've found like there's no shortage of very difficult to surmount challenges in my job. So I don't, I don't need to go elsewhere to like find itches to scratch. Just doing my job really well can be a huge challenge. And if I'm able to do that, I feel like that's the best way I can have impact in my community.
Yeah. Well, I think you highlighted a common theme among a lot of people now, especially in the world that we live in, that's, you know, super connected by technology in many, many ways, but we tend to spread ourselves thin, right? We tend to do too much. And I remember last year, I did the same thing. I was working four jobs and then 17 volunteer opportunities, and it was just too much. And I've never burnt out that hard before, and it took me a full month of basically doing nothing to get out of that slump, because I had drained myself like I had never done before, and it was because I did too much.
So where did you land up? Like, what was the kind of end state of that evolution?
Yeah. Well, the end state was exactly what you said. It was that I prioritized a few things that were important to me, a few things that I knew I could contribute a lot of impact to, and a few things that made me really happy, right? We always have that 0 to 10 scale. And some things are, you know, like a 7, which is really good still. Some things are an 8, which is even better. But you always have those 9 and 10s where you're just like, God, this makes me feel good. And so I prioritized those, and that got me out of that slump. But it took a good time just breathing and just being to get back into that state, because I was so burnt out. And that's not uncommon, right? That is a very common trait among so many people.
Yeah, maybe here's an opportunity to give some advice or something, which is I do think that that's really common, as you said, and or maybe an opinion, not advice, but
it's always good. Still,
another former client of mine, I remember he had huge professional goals, and he was doing all these other projects, one of which was he was on the board of his church. And that's one of these like unimpeachable activities. It's like, oh my gosh, you're really doing something good for the world. But it was spreading him thin, and it was getting in the way of his primary professional goals, which he had decided were more important. So I do think that, you know, it's not right or wrong to be spread thin or to focus, but I do think that there's sort of this, easy answer to like, oh, I care, and therefore I should find ways to have impact. The easy answer that people go to is I should volunteer. I should be on the, you know, I should volunteer at my church like this guy, you know, big brother, big sister. These are like wonderful things, right? And I think the more challenging path, but maybe the more impactful path, is to ask, like, you know, it seems like both of us did at some point, like, how can I integrate these values that I have directly into my work? Because it scales better, you know, when you're able to focus all of your energies on one thing. I think it really scales. There's like an exponential impact that's created on your time. So that's something that has had a huge impact for me. It sounds like maybe for you as well. And something that I would definitely at least nudge people to consider if they're kind of feeling that kind of tension in their lives.
Yeah, no, 100%. So let's jump into the next question, because I think that's a really good advice to leave off on. But this one's about the business. So it can be about focus made. It can be about, you know, what you've done in the past. It sounds like you've had clients before. But do you believe social impact is an important part of business? And if so, why?
Yes and no. I think that it's really important to be like clear-eyed about like the first job of business is to be financially viable. And for some people that's super obvious, but I actually do think that for people with a strong motivation to have social impact, that sometimes those waters get muddied. And I know it did for me. And actually my first startup was a nonprofit, and I thought it was such a great idea. And I wound up shutting it down because after 6 months of validating this opportunity and getting super excited, I still couldn't figure out how to make the finances work.
Yeah.
So however, beyond that, I think it can be a very valuable, almost competitive advantage. And the way that I think about social impact is it's a very personal thing. So it's like, what is that sustainable source of meaning that you personally can tap into, right? So for me, for FocusMate, like personally, I care a lot about unlocking my own potential. This is like part of my core worldview or my value system, right? So working in this space is a very sustainable motivator for me. And so like sort of tapping into that vein allows me to, I think, offer a better product and to be a better leader in my team because I care about that. So I think, yes, it, I don't know if I would say it's important. I would say it can be a huge advantage. It can help motivate you. It can help you deliver a better product. You know, it can be a great asset for your brand. I think there's a lot of evidence today that consumers are interested in buying things that are good for them, are good for the world. So I think it can also be smart business.
Yeah. There's this idea now of social procurement, and it comes a lot back into that idea of, you know, buying not just locally, but buying sustainably, right? And they're finding a lot of evidence, and this is very Canadian based at this point, but I know that it's everywhere in the States too, but I'll speak from the lens that I know. It's hugely successful, right? When you have a social procurement model, or you have a model of social good, social impact, you attract more investors now. You attract better investors, you attract better customers, and your retention of customers actually goes up. And I don't remember the exact statistics, but I think there's a lot of truth and proof in social impact, maybe not as a business model, right? Because social enterprise and B Corp is so new. But when you embed those values, even in a for-profit company, your chances are actually much more attractable to people now.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's if we like found some, you know, Harvard Business Review article about like what is a brand, right? It's like a brand stands for something, and it has an identity and a personality, and we are attracted to that thing because it somehow resonates with us and we want to be part of that. Mm-hmm. You know, so if like if you really believe that people are innately good, mm-hmm. and they care, you know, when they're not bogged down by like all the challenges that life throws at us, I do think that caring, that person, that that good person emerges. And so like you can find that thing in yourself that you deeply care about and map that into your brand. There's every reason to believe that investors and consumers and business, you know, all of the people in your ecosystem will be very attracted to that. So I'm glad to hear that there's evidence now that supports that, but I totally believe it.
Yeah. So last question then, and it's more about the community. I always like to, you know, do the model of individual business community, because the community is really the important part. But what's your advice for others to begin building their own social impact or just general impact in their communities?
Business aside, you mean just social impact, period?
Either one. It really is. It's supposed to be a vague question because it's what you really believe.
I like your intentionally vague questions. My advice is to focus on yourself first and figure out what you really care about. Because there's a million and one things that you could do, that you could invest your time in. But, you know, only you get to say what is a life well lived. And there's no rule out there that says that having impact in your community is what a life well lived is. There's just too many different ways to do it. And I don't mean it as like a navel gazing sort of exercise, or like I actually think there is a little bit too much emphasis on self exploration versus like solving real problems and kind of the societal narrative today. But I think it's important to ask, like, you know, what's really meaningful for me? And it could be social impact in my community is I'm going to be the best parent that I could possibly be. And there's also a degree of like, what's the right way to have social impact for me right now? Right. So I'm actually not a parent, but I'm just choosing this example because, you know, if you have a young child or, you know, whatever your situation is, like, I think it's actually okay to embrace that, you know, this is the most important way for me to have a social impact in my community right now is being a great parent. And maybe there will come another time when it's like being a community organizer or something that's like prototypically, if you look in the encyclopedia for like community impact, you'd find that thing. Or maybe it's something like what I'm doing, which is actually being an entrepreneur. And the main flag that I'm flying right now is not social impact. It's entrepreneur, right? It's building a business. But how do you navigate all those choices? And those are three examples of things that are just like could not possibly be more different, but I think they're all really valid ways of having social impact in your community. So I think I would advise to start with that, asking what's really true for you, what feels like it's going to be the most sustainable source of motivation, you know, for what will have you wake up in the morning and desire excellence in whatever you are doing. I think that's kind of a good litmus or a good North Star.
Yeah, no, I love that. Because you highlighted one of the important ideas of like being a social impactor or building social impact is that it can be in hundreds of different ways, but each of them are equally building a different type of impact, right? When you talked about, you know, being a good parent, that is inherently important because you're building the next generation of entrepreneurs and business owners and like you're building that generation. And then it goes down to being an entrepreneur too. You're still building capacity for the next generation too, right? It really is building impact in so many different ways. And that's what it is. It can be macro, micro, anything in between. You're still building an impact. And that's what I love about this idea of social impact, right? It's so broad, but it can be so different.
Yeah, you actually made me think of one more thing, which is it's really not about what you're doing. It's about how you're doing it.
Yeah.
There's this guy, Dov Seidman, who wrote a great book about this, which is it's all about how you do things. And so to just like go back to this example of parenting, like if you're really dedicated to the pursuit of being an excellent parent, that's a very challenging thing. And it's something that will like call forth every shred of like discipline and willpower that you have. And inevitably that will be a forcing function for you to grow into a better person or a person that's a better version of yourself. And what I believe is that by focusing on it's a spiritual journey in a way, like by focusing on that, you know, the pursuit of excellence in that endeavor, that you interact with everyone in the rest of your life in a different way. It's kind of this Gandhian, like, be the change you wish to see in the world. So, it's easy to focus on sort of the grandiose notions of social impact, but then like when you interact with the delivery person to be a jerk. And I don't think that really works. I think it's just like, you know, ego appeasement or something. So, that's just kind of another layer to it, is I do think that there are waves that are created when you find that thing that's authentic and you kind of just use that as like your totem or your like the thing that causes you to evolve spiritually.
Yeah. Shout out to all the good parents out there. Taylor, I want to just finish the podcast with saying thank you. Thank you for, you know, giving 30 minutes of your time today to be here, but also talk about what you do and, you know, the benefits of what Focus Made is bringing and also being a real standard for a social impactor. So just again, want to thank you for being on the podcast.
Thanks, Avery. I'm honored.